mountains to move. You want me to climb, so I'm gonna trust your work, your will in your time. Oh, oh, your ways are so much higher than mine.
Straight is the road we're called to travel, many the trials along the way.
There's a brighter day,
brighter day,
on the other side, on the other side. Trouble is always there before us, trusting in Jesus we can say.
There's a brighter day,
brighter day, on the other side.
There's a brighter day,
brighter day, up yonder, over on the other side,
on the other side. Rejoicing with
saints in the heavenly land will ever abide.
And happy we'll be.
No more pain or sorrow, sadness will say goodbye.
Each tear will dry. There's a brighter day
awaiting for me on the other side. Walking with Jesus through the battle, standing on his amazing grace.
There's a brighter day,
brighter day, on the other side, on the other side. Trusting the one who died to save us, soon we'll see his blessed face.
There's a brighter day,
brighter day, on the other side.
There's a brighter day,
brighter day, up yonder, over on the other side,
on the other side. Rejoicing with
saints in the heavenly land will ever abide.
And happy we'll be.
No more pain or sorrow, sadness will say goodbye.
Each tear will dry. There's a brighter day
awaiting for me on the other side.
There's a brighter day,
brighter day, up yonder, over on the other side,
on the other side. Rejoicing with the saints in the heavenly land will ever abide.
And happy will be.
No more pain or sorrow, sadness will say goodbye.
Each tear will dry. There's a brighter day
awaiting for me on the other side.
There's a brighter day
awaiting for me on the other side.
Known. And I thank you, Lord, for heartaches that have come my way.
And though I don't understand,
Lord, help me rest in your hand and work your plan in me.
And though at times I fear, let me be still and hear your voice in the night.
Sometimes I falter, I will pour out my heart
to you at the altar I make. I will not forsake.
I will be true.
the potter and I am the clay.
Mold me and make me in your own way.
And in your fire purify and revive me, so that I may your vessel be, a holy vessel be.
Glad everybody could be here today. Let's have a word of prayer and we'll get started. Dear precious Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. Lord, we thank you for the things you put in our life to draw us closer to you. Lord, and we thank you that we thank you for bringing us all here, Lord. Bless the services today. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's all stand and turn to 191. 191. In my heart rings a melody. 191.
I have a song that Jesus gave me. It was sent from heaven above. Never was a sweeter melody.
Turn over to 439. Count your many blessings.
When a pilgrim billows, you are tempest tossed. When you are discouraged, thinking all is lost, count your many blessings, name them one by one. It will surprise you what the Lord has done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God had done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God had done. Are you ever burdened with the load of care? Does the cross seem heavy you are called to bear? Count your many blessings, every doubt will fly, and you will be singing as the days go by. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God had done. Name them one by one. Count your many blessings. morning see what God had done. When you look at others with their lands and gold, think that Christ has promised you the wealth untold. Count your many blessings money cannot buy. Your reward in heaven and your home on high. Count your blessings. See what God had done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God had done. So amid the conflict, whether great or small, do not be discouraged, God is over all. Count your many blessings, angels will attend, help and comfort give you till their journey's end. Blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God had done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God had done. Thank you for your singing.
Thank you, Mr. Rowe. Amen. Well, it's good to have you in the house of the Lord this morning on this last Sunday of October. And we'll finish up our missions month today. And a couple announcements this morning. I hope you'll be back tonight. The Parkers, they're from Brother Stewart's church, Faith Baptist Church in Olathe, and fine young couple. They are heading to Japan, and so looking forward to having them tonight. I hope you'll be prepared to fill the purse there, and that will actually finish our missions month. Then Wednesday, Bible preaching and prayer, and Kids Patch Club, and it'll be the last time to put stuff in the boxes for the kids. And there's another box back there. I think this young man is from Brother Glorious Church in Hastings, and so if you want to put something in there, that'd be great, but it'll be your last chance to do that for them, because we're going to take it Thursday. It's good to have Brother Moyer back. Amen. And then this Saturday, church-wide Operation Saturation, and also Ladies' Day Away, Berean Baptist Church. You ladies that have signed up, that'll be from 9 a.m. to 3 a.m., or 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. That'd be a long ladies' retreat. Whew. Anyway, and then next Sunday, don't worry about the time change. Don't worry about it. That way you'll be here an hour early. Yeah! If you think about it, you can set your clocks back 1 hour if you want to. Anyway, and then next week from the Monday is Senior Saints here at the church. I'm looking forward to that. Tuesday, November 7th, Election Day. No, Sunday, November 12th, we'll honor all the veterans that are here. And then there will be a ladies' meeting on November 13th. Then on the back at the top is our schedule through December. We'll have the midweek service Thanksgiving week again on Tuesday night. The adult Christmas social will be Friday, December 15th. Then there'll be a Sunday school Christmas program dress rehearsal on Saturday, the 16th. Christmas Sunday will actually be the 17th. And then we'll go caroling on Wednesday, December 20th. And then Christmas Eve. Hope you'll be in God's house. Say it's Christmas Eve. Yeah, but it's the Lord's Day also. All right. So I hope you'll be here. We'll have one 11 o'clock service and one 5 p.m. Christmas candlelight service. And then the watch night service, we'll have a great time there Sunday, December 31st. Regular services, and then probably later move it down just a little bit, the evening service, so we can go a little later. There's some people that we need our prayers. Like my son will have a MRI on his heart this Wednesday in Kansas City. Years ago they found something and they wanted to take a look at it. Well, this past week they found an extra vein in his heart, the ones that pump the blood in, and they just want to make sure that it is not actually pumping blood in. Because if it does, it would make the heart wear out quicker and really hurt him. And he's really concerned. I mean, you think he's a command man, but he's really stressed. So if you'll keep him in prayer, but don't say anything to him. You know, he goes, Dad, I'm not having surgery. I'm not. He's just so stressed. But anyway, pray about it. I don't think there's anything. They just want to make sure that that's not pumping blood, because it would be too much for him, for his heart, and it would hurt his heart. Brother Lindholm's supposed to have surgery on Thursday. And then Sharon Shields, pray for her. Her surgery got put back into December, or pushed back in December, and so please remember those in prayer. All right, real quick, I'm going to go over this, the missions, the extra deal in your bulletin. From the years that I've been here, the last 12 years, there's been $1,240,140.90 come through here for world missions. And all God's people said, man, you got some millionaires? No, it's just $1 at a time, $5 at a time. But that's what's channeled through here. We've never kept $100,000 in the bank, never kept $50,000 in the bank. Right now we don't have, well, we got $1,200 in the bank. But anyway, so that's what's come through here from the giving of God's people. Our mission budget is $7,120 a month. That's what we have to have in order to send all the money to the missionaries that we've already made commitments to. And down here this year, there were 3 months we did not make budget. And so that means we didn't have enough come in that we made. But the 5 Sunday months really help us, because some of us give every week, not every month. And that helps us catch up. I'd like to take on the Scuffums, and I'd like to take on the Parkers tonight. We need to see what we have. So we have some little cards like this. They're at the back. And it just says, for this new mission year, I want to make a commitment to give to the Lord Jesus Christ through the Bethel Baptist Church an offering above my tithe to be used for the cause of world missions, reaching all the world with the gospel, as follows. I'm not asking for an amount this year, but it says circle one of these, give the same amount I gave last year, reduce my giving by so much from what I gave last year, or increase my giving from what I gave last year, or start giving to missions. This will help us. You know, please don't put your name on it. You can take two. Encourage you if you want to do this. Fill one out for you. Put it in your Bible or put it somewhere that you can remember to help you. And then the other one, fold it and turn it in. That just helps us. Because where we're at now, we probably couldn't take on much, because we have, like, missionaries come in. We'll get them a motel tonight. We'll feed them, give them a love offering. And so those 3 months that we didn't even make budget, then that cuts into what we can give when we come. And so if you can help us, man, if you haven't given anything, if you can, $5, I mean, two missionaries. See, I said be $150 a month, and that divided by four would be $37 a month. If we had that above and beyond, that's four people at $10 a week. So think about it, pray about it, see what God would have you to do. And this is just so that we can know how to budget for next year. And encourage everyone to do something. Teenagers, you can start doing something, $1, $2, $5, whatever, a week or a month. And commit it, and I guarantee you God will bless. So think about that, and we'll take those up for the next couple weeks and see what God does. So, dear Heavenly Father God, I come before you this morning. Dear Father, I thank you for our church and our church family. And God, I know people give, and they give their tithes and their offerings and the bus adoption and for the filling of the purse and all kinds of things. God, thank you for their generosity. And God, I pray that you might bless them in a special way. But I pray for our missions program, dear Father. I know that you want us to reach the world with the gospel. And God, we have some missionaries primed and ready and trained, and they've been on deputation, and they've been for their internship. The Parkers ready to go to Japan. We have the Scuffums ready to go to Cambodia. And God, I pray that they might get their money soon, that they might be able to get on the field and reach people for Christ and start Baptist churches and colleges and institutes to teach and train people the Word of God. So please use us. Dear Father, I pray for our dear people that there might be 100% participation. God, that we might see our missions rise and grow, that we can do more than ever for the cause of war missions. Thank you for Brother Moyer. Pray for his dear wife today. And I pray for the services to follow in Jesus' name. Amen. It's good to have Brother Moyer. Amen?
Amen.
Good to have you, sir.
Well, it's very good to be here. I'll tell you what, it's just hard to say how hard it is to stay at home and not be in church. My wife has endured this for so long, I know her desire, heart's desire, is to be in church, but she just can't because of sickness and everything. And she, I believe she is gaining her strength now a little bit. She has gotten up with her walker, and she's walking. I normally was having to help her all the time to get up and everything, but now she's getting enough strength that she can pull herself up. But I insist that I'm always there, you know, so because she has a willpower to do things a lot of times. Sorry about spit, but sometimes she has a willpower to do it, and she gets up and does it. Then sometimes she doesn't think what she's doing sometimes, and so she ends up on the ground. The last fall and everything, really, with the concussion and the broken ribs and everything, it really took a lot out of her during those weeks, but she is improving, and I thank you for your prayers for both of us. I had a week in there that I was kind of sick myself, but things are better. We're here and glad to be here today. I'm glad you're here. It's good to see everybody again. I was really hoping that Mrs. Wells was going to be here. I was so glad to see her and the hug and the greeting and everything. But I really was thinking of her a lot because of the great game Kansas had yesterday. one-point win is better than none. 7-0 Oklahoma. not too happy. Oh, okay. All right. But, hey, it couldn't happen to a better team. But anyway, good to be here today. We are, at least I still am. I don't know where we've been, kind of all over with the pastor and different things that he's taught and everything while he's here. And I think Brother Adam had took over a couple of Sundays there for me, and I appreciate that. But I'm still in the Book of Acts, so we're booking back in the Book of Acts in chapter 22 today. And hopefully, I was planning on getting through 22 today. We already had talked about this a little bit and everything and through here, but we find out here in go back just a little bit to chapter 21, because we find here is when the apostle Paul has gone to into the temple as the church in Jerusalem asked him to help with the purification of some of the people, and Paul did this. I think back in chapter 21, verse 26 says, "Then Paul took the men and the next day purified himself with them, entering into the temple to signify the accomplishment of the days of purification until that an offering should be offered for everyone." And I looked back in 1 Corinthians just for a minute. 1 Corinthians chapter 20, or excuse me, 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 20. It says here, and it kind of gives a little bit of an understanding why he did this. And you have to realize, too, that the apostles there that were in Jerusalem, they were dealing with the Jewish religion the entire time. And they were Jews. Is that something behind me? I don't know. Anyway, they had been dealing with this, and they were dealing with their Judaism along with their Christianity now that they had. But in chapter 9 of 1 Corinthians, it says there, "And unto the Jews I became as a Jew, that I might gain the Jews." I believe that was the entire purpose of the Apostle Paul of going through this purification. He wanted to gain the Jews, and we're going to see that here in chapter 22, as he's taken here in chapter 21. We read the end part of that, and it says that the people were upset about him being there, thought that he had brought in some some Ephesians people and was polluting the temple, and they got very upset, and then the people began to riot. As a matter of fact, they took Paul, pulled him out of the temple, and they were beating him and probably would have killed him out there. But we find out that God has a purpose in all these things, and he brings in the Roman soldiers. And it says, verse 31 of chapter 21, it says, and as they went about to kill him, that was their intent, to kill him, tidings came to the chief captain of the band that all Jerusalem was in an uproar. So anytime Jerusalem got in an uproar, the Roman soldiers came in to take care of things. And so here we see in the last part of this chapter 21, the chief captain comes, and he comes near, and he takes hold of, he chains Paul up and brings him and gets him away from the crowd and all these things. And then it says, back down to verse 37, and it says, as Paul was to be led into the castle, he said unto the chief captain, "May I speak unto thee?" Who said, "Canst thou speak Greek?" He didn't know who Paul was. He didn't understand, and he goes on to say, this is who the Romans thought he was. It says here, it says, "Are not thou that Egyptian, which before these days madest an uproar and ledest out into the wilderness 4,000 men that were murderers?" That's who they thought Paul was. And so he's telling them, Paul said, "I am a man which am a Jew of Tarsus, a city of Cilicia, a citizen of no mean city. And I beseech thee, suffer me to speak unto the people." And it says in verse 40, "And when he had given him lease, Paul stood on the steps and beckoned with his hands unto the people. And when they were made a quiet silence, he spake unto them in the Hebrew tongue, saying." And so here in verse 22, we're going to see what he says here. And he says, "Men and brethren, fathers, hear ye my defense, which I make now unto you." And verse 2 says, when they had heard that he spake to them in the Hebrew tongue to them, they kept more of the silent, and he said. And so they heard him now. Now, Paul here speak Greek, and he also was able to speak the Hebrew tongue, and the people understood him and heard him, but he was a well-learned man. And they find out in many different places he could speak many different languages and things, and it was a help to him. God, sometimes I know back when I was going in school, I thought, why am I ever having to learn this? Why, why would I want to take a language? I mean, I have a hard enough time with English. Why would I want to speak Spanish? I had a good friend of mine. He spoke Russian when he was in high school. Of course, now his life was he wanted to be an FBI agent, and he did, and through that. But he wanted to do those things. But we learn things sometimes we don't know why, but there are times when that helps us. I remember, as I was getting into the ministry and different things, I didn't know why all the years I spent with my dad plumbing. I thought, why did I have to? I really don't care for plumbing. I went ahead and did it. I got my German license. Why? Because my dad told me to. But anyway, I did it. But I found out when I got in the ministry, that helped me many times. When I got to Bible college, I was able to be the plumber in the college, Baptist Bible College, for 4 years that I was there. I was a maintenance plumber. It helped me and helped my family. We were provided that way. And then when I went to one of the first places I went was in Oklahoma. Okmulgee, Oklahoma. I went down there, became a principal of a Christian school. And actually, it started out there as a supervisor in the school, but things happen. But I went down there to apply for the job. And it was in the wintertime, and the preacher said, well, we'd have you over, but our pipes are frozen. I said, well, okay. I said, do you have a torch? And he said, yeah. And he said, I'll unthaw them for you. So I went under the house, got underneath there. Normally, pipes freeze in the brass valve. And, of course, their brass valve was right by the entrance into the crawl space under their house. So I unthawed that thing, got all the water running from him, taped up his pipes, make sure that it was all good. And he said, you're hired. I said, well, you haven't even asked me about being a teacher in the school. He said, I know. You got in there and you did it. You're hired. never know when something's going to come in handy. And that's what I believe the Apostle Paul, he had a lot of things in his life that came in handy. He's going to, in the book of Acts, in chapter 22, he starts out here and he says, men and brethren, hear ye my defense, which I make now unto you. And when he makes this defense, there's three things he does in this defense. He says, number one, that he was born a Jew. He related to them. We find out in verse 3 there. He says, I am verily a man which am a Jew, born of Tarsus in the city of Cilicia, yet brought up in the city at the feet of Gamaliel, taught according to the perfect manner of the law of the fathers, and was zealous toward God, as ye all are this day. He's seen their zealous. He knew that exactly what they're doing. They didn't want their temple to be polluted, and they thought that he was polluting the temple here. So he was telling them, I'm a Jew. I understand. I was even learned at the feet of Gamaliel. That was very important. That was very important to the Jews, that they realized and they understood that he knew the law. And so not only that, but he told them that he talks about that he was circumcised and all these things. And he goes on here a little bit further in verse 4. It says, he tells them, he said, I persecuted this way, talking about the Christians. That's what in these days, that's what they call them, those that were in this way, the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. And there was a way that these people lived, and it was different. And he says, and I was persecuted this way unto death, binding them and delivering them into prisons, both men and women, as also the high priest doth bear me witness, and all the estates of the elders, from whom also I received letters unto the brethren, went to Damascus to bring them which were bound unto Jerusalem for to be punished. So he's telling them, I know how you feel. You're going after me, just like I went after the Christians, just like I went after the people that were in this way. And he's trying to plead with them and persuade them. And he goes on to tell them what happened. He used this opportunity to tell them that he was still worshiping the God of heaven, the same God that they worship. But there was something that happened in his life. There was a change. There was a change. And it said, it came to pass in verse 6, and it came to pass that as I made my journey and was come nigh unto Damascus about noon, suddenly there shone from heaven a great light around me, and I fell unto the ground and heard a voice saying unto me, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And we see here his conversion story. He says, and I answered and said, who art thou? And he said unto me, I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom thou persecutest. So he knows who it is he's speaking to. And he goes on to say, and they that were with me saw indeed the light, but that were afraid, but they heard not the voice of him that spake unto me. And he said, what shall I do? What shall I do, Lord? And the Lord said unto me, arise and go to Damascus, And there it shall be told thee of all things which are appointed for thee to do. And so he's telling them about the vision that he's seen of the Lord Jesus Christ. His life was changed at this moment. And he tells them what he was going, he was appointed to go to Damascus. Verse 11 says, "And when I could not see for the glory of the light, being led by the hands of them that were with me, I came to Damascus. And one Ananias, a devout man, according to the law, having a good report of all the Jews which dwelleth there." And so he's talking about this man, Ananias. Now, Ananias here is a Jew, and he's a good man, a devout man, and he's telling that he had a good report with the Jews. Again, he's trying to persuade these people that are out there that are wanting to kill him. He's trying to persuade him that persuade them that he is doing the right thing and telling them about the Lord Jesus Christ and the being there in the temple and all these things here. And he goes on to say in verse 13, Ananias came unto me and stood and said unto me, "Brother Saul, receive thy sight." And the same hour I looked up upon him. And he said, "The God of our fathers has chosen thee that thou shouldest know his will and see the just one and should hear the voice of his mouth." And so Ananias is telling him, Paul, God has a will for you in your life. You know, we need to realize that God has a will for each and every one of us. God is not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. You know, today we see the war that's going on in Israel. I look at the Jews, I look at the Arabs, and I look at them and say they both have the same problem. They haven't seen the light of the Lord Jesus Christ. The problem is, over here, the Jews are still trying to serve their God and trying to do those things. And I believe they have all the right in the world to take care of the Arabs. I believe I am for Israel. If I had a flag out in front of my house, I'd fly my American flag and have the Israel flag right behind it. It'd be right under there because I'm for Israel. They're God's people. And the reason why, and I believe that this is Paul's deepest concern was, he wished himself to be accursed for his people, Israel. And not only that, but God tells us in his word that we need to stand with Israel, his chosen people. God one day is going to deal with them, and I guarantee you one day, they're going to see their Savior come out of the sky, and they're going to see him. They're going to see the nail prints in his hands. They're going to see the crown of thorns was on his head. They're going to see his side pierced, and they're going to know that's our Messiah. And they are going to accept him as their Lord and Savior. The problem is the Arabs will not see that. They will not hear that until they understand that there's only one way to heaven. Just like we, as Gentile Christians, had to come to a point in our life where we accepted Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. Now, when Christ comes in, our life changes. And that's exactly what happened to the Apostle Paul. That's what he's saying here. And Ananias told him, God's going to show you his will. He said, and see that just one. That's what he's seen. He's seen the just one, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Prince of Peace. He's the one that can give us peace. When I was going to college, there was a young man that was in Baptist Bible College at that time. He's actually in my class, graduated when I did, named Corey. Named Corey came from Israel. Named Corey, everybody's seen him first. Oh, the Jewish kid that's here. Well, he was Palestinian, and he didn't mind telling you sometimes, I'm Palestinian, I'm really not a Jew. Named Corey is a pastor in Bethlehem today, and I think pastor seen him when he was in Jerusalem. And named Corey, the difference is that he accepted Christ as his personal Savior. I just got finished reading a book called Sons of Hamas, talking about a young man there that accepted. He was a Arab, a Palestinian, who went to a revival meeting in Jerusalem. Somebody had a tent revival going on there. There are Christians over there, and they do preach the gospel. And he got saved at one of those revival meetings. He went back into Gaza, in that area there, and his father was a head of Hamas. And him and his father had clashes. Began to try to tell his father, there's something different. We need to realize there's something more than Allah and these things. And he tried to win him to Christ. He ended up having to flee from the area and ended up in the United States. And he's a preacher here. I can't remember his last name. But anyway, people, it doesn't matter whether they're Jew or Arab or what, the thing they need was the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's exactly what Paul was telling them here in this portion of Scripture. He wanted to beckon with them, tell them that he called them men and brethren. That's an endearment statement. Stephen said it when before he was stoned. He called them men and brethren. They're brethren. They're and fathers. He realized that they were a part of his family, and that's what he's talking about here. And we see here that Ananias tells him that he said you've been called, and it says right here in verse 16, which I think is an interesting verse. Let me see if I got my notes on this, because I did put something different down. Yeah, there it is on the front page. Verse 16 is an interesting verse, because it says right here, and let's go back to verse 15, and it says, for thou shall be his witness unto all men. That's what, when Paul was on Damascus Road, Ananias talked to him, told him, hey, you're going to be a witness. You know, that's exactly what it says here in the book of Acts. That's the main subject here in the book of Acts. It's found in Acts chapter 1. It says in verse 8, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in all of Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the earth. That's what our duty is as a Christian, to be a witness. And that's what Ananias is telling him here. You're going to be a witness to all men of whom thou hast seen and heard. Of all the things that you've seen and heard, you're going to be the witness. You're going to tell them these things. Now it says in verse 16, he says, now, why tarriest thou? You got to get busy. It's time to do something. He says, why tarriest thou? And it tells him in the next part of that verse, arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. A lot of times, now, there's a lot of people that will take this verse of Scripture and say, it says right there, he was supposed to be baptized. Well, let's look at that just a little bit. And it says here, it says, wash away your sins. Receiving baptism is an act expression of the washing away of sins. It's not the water that does it. It's the last part of this verse that does it, on calling on the name of the Lord. By calling on the name of the Lord, that makes the difference. And it's just like when we baptize. A person's baptized in the church, they become a church member. That doesn't get them to heaven. That's not salvation. Salvation isn't by washing away. It's a picture. When we're baptized, we're baptized. We baptize a person. We say, you're baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, buried in the likeness of his death, risen in the glory of his resurrection, to walk in the newness of life. And that's what baptism is. And in this verse of Scripture, some people will try to take that and say you have to be baptized. But that's not what it says. The last part, because as it says here, he says, arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. That's how we get saved. That if we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shall be saved. And that's how we're saved. And so that's exactly what Ananias was telling him there, that you're saved because you've called upon the name of the Lord Jesus. Now, and follow his command, be in obedience to the command of the Lord, we are baptized. That's the reason why baptism is, because we're in obedience to God's command. What did he say? He told them to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. That's what we need to do. And that's what he was telling Paul. It seems to me Ananias here was a true believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. And he also, but Paul told us in verse 12 there that he was a devout Jew. And it's because of the devoutness of the Jews as Paul's in the situation where he's at now with the purification and all the things that he went through. But he's still called because he called upon the name of the Lord. And let's look in verse 17. And it came to pass that when it was come again to the Jew, to Jerusalem, while I prayed in the temple, I was in a trance. Now Paul's going back and he's telling them what happened when he came here to Jerusalem. And he says in verse 18, and I saw him, saying unto me, make haste and get thee quickly out of Jerusalem, for they will not receive thy testimony concerning me. And I said, Lord, they know. That I've imprisoned and beaten in every synagogue them that believe on thee. And when the blood of the martyr Stephen was shed, I also was standing by and consented unto his death, and kept the raiment of them that slew him. And he said unto me, depart, for I send thee far hence unto the Gentiles. And so Paul was telling him, God had told him to go to the Gentiles, and it goes on to say, they gave him audience unto this word, and then lifted up their voices and said, away with this fellow from the earth, for it is not fit that he should live. And so the people then, when they heard that he went to the Gentiles, they didn't like that. That was against the Jewish laws and different things like that. But God had told him to go to the Gentiles. You know, the problem is, a lot of times I think the Jews failed to realize what the prophets were saying. Because the prophets, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, many of them talked about the Gentiles. The turning of the Gentiles, when the Gentiles will accept Christ as their Savior, as Gentiles will accept the Messiah. They were overlooking the whole situation of the second coming. They could not understand the first coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. They looked to the second coming, when God would be upon his throne and he would rule over Israel and he would do those things. They failed to realize, and the prophets in the Old Testament said it many times, that God was going to be going to the Gentiles. When Jesus Christ came to the earth, the Bible tells us in the book of John, it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. God came to this earth in verse 14, it says, the Word was made flesh and dwell among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. It was Jesus Christ who came to the earth. It was God himself. He had to come the first time to be crucified, to shed his blood. And that's what they were not realizing. And when they started talking about going to the Gentiles, that just upset these Jews, and they began to cry out. Then we find out the captain here, he commands the people, the men, soldiers, to take him into the castle. And they began to examine him by scourging. And they were going to examine him. What they were going to do is try to find out the truth. What is this guy all about? And so they were going to do it by scourging. They were going to beat him in this a particular time, and it says in verse 25, and as they bound him with thongs, Paul said unto the centurion that stood by, is it lawful for you to scourge a man that is a Roman? Again, no, he probably never knew how important it was when he was growing up, how important his Roman citizenship was. But there's been a couple of times back in the jail when he was in jail that with Silas and him, they were in jail and they got scourged, they got beaten and everything. And then, of course, the jailer got saved. And the next day, the magistrate comes and says, "Oh, go ahead and send those guys away. We don't want to mess with them." And Paul says, "Uh-oh, wait a minute. Is this the way you treat a Roman citizen?" They were in trouble. And this man knew, the centurion knew, he said, this Roman citizenship really helped him. And he says, is it lawful without being condemned? I've had no trial, and you're going to scourge me? So immediately the guard goes and tells the chief captain, and the captain comes to him and talks to him, he said, told him for this man's a Roman. And then he goes on and says, then the chief captain came and said unto him, tell me, art thou a Roman? And he said, yea. And the chief captain answered, with a great sum obtained I my freedom. And Paul said, but I was freeborn. And that's an interesting part right there. We don't have time. I'll have to do it next week. It's interesting because there was two ways of being freeborn. He was from the city of Tarsus, and Tarsus was a Roman city, was taken over by the Romans, and he born during that time. That says a possibility that just being born in Tarsus that time would have made him a Roman citizen. But another idea on that is that his father had paid the price, either was a soldier in the Roman army for a while or whatever, and obtained the Roman citizenship. And as he was born then he was a Roman citizen. But anyway, we might look at that next week. Okay, let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, again, we're thankful for your word that encourages us. Father, I pray that you be with each one of us today. Lord, as the pastor comes, I pray that you hide him behind the cross. Lord, as he preaches, Lord, that our ears will be open to your words. And Father, most of all, open our hearts that we receive that word, Lord, that we'd know that you're talking to us from your word. And Father, I pray that you just have your will and way in the service to come. We give you the honor and the glory and the praise. Thank you for all you've done. In Jesus' precious and holy name we pray. Amen.